is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice. Oh, powerful, powerful. If you're at home and you couldn't hear that, turn up your speaker, okay? Because it's down, man. That was powerful. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15 real quick. Actually, don't turn there. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read you Romans 15. No need to turn there. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope." How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. We bow our heads. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. I love that scripture and thought of that throughout this time. I think K-Love actually had that as her verse of the day yesterday or the day before. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in others. As you trust in Him, so that you may overflow. Have more than enough. That you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that. Now, Acts chapter 9, if you'll turn there, we're going to be looking at a fairly familiar story. And today's message is titled, "Have You Experienced True Transformation?" Now, that'll be up to each one of you. There's scriptures throughout the New Testament that say, hey, if you are a new believer or claim to be a believer, here's some things that will be evident in your life that will bear witness to that. We're going to look at this story a little differently today, though. But I'm still excited about it. I want to look at Saul's transformation as he's walking down the road. And I want to see if that same transformation is available and or can happen to us. Well, you see, Saul wasn't a Christian, and I am, so there's no way. We're going to look at some comparisons and see, is it possible that that could happen with us right now and happen in those things? So, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." How very encouraging, right? Saul was still breathing out these threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest. That's some religious folks back then. And he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, and those were Christians back then, it was called the way, whether men or women, he didn't care who it was, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light flashed from heaven above all around him. Now we're going to stop right there and look at these first couple verses. Transformation for Paul happened, I want you to listen very carefully. It happened as he was doing his day-to-day business. Okay, Adam, what are you saying? I'm saying he was going along thinking he was doing right. He was doing his mission, his ministry, if you will. He was doing his work that he felt in his mind was right. Turn back to chapter 7 real quick. Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 60. And it says, "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen," we're going back to Stephen, "full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" Verse 57. "At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him." Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. In other words, he was dead. But listen to this. And Saul approved of their killing Stephen. He was doing his day-to-day business, his routine. In his mind, he's doing right. And I want us to think, in our mind, do we think we're doing right? I'm doing the Lord's work. Have you checked with the Lord recently to make sure of that? Because you may be doing your work in the name of the Lord, and that's different than doing the Lord's work who sent you. The Bible tells us many people will come and say, "Hey, the Lord has sent me, but I did not send him," he says. We've got to be careful when we say we're doing the Lord's work versus I'm doing what I think is right and good, but I haven't checked in with the Lord lately to make sure of that. Now it goes on, verse 4. And it says, he fell to the ground and heard a loud voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And his interesting response says, "Who are you, Lord?" Paul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind. He did not see anything, he did not eat anything, and he did not drink anything. For Saul, who was going along doing his day-to-day business, in his mind he's right. Transformation came when? When he least expected it. "I just approved of Stephen's killing. They stoned him to death and I approved of it. Now I'm going down here and I'm heading out down the road. I'm going to Damascus. Oh, by the way, I've got letters. I have letters from the high priest telling me that if I find anyone that's of the way, I can take them and bring them back. Make them prisoners and beat them and kill them as he did with Stephen." Transformation happened when Saul least expected it. Now, if this can happen to a murderous, non-Christian, could it not happen to us, Christians? You mean there could be a bigger transformation? And I don't want our young adults and our young people and our young people and our teens, I don't want you to think that this can't happen to you at a young age or at a later age. By the way, those of us that are more advanced in age, don't think for a second that we've arrived and transformation can happen to us, even though we've already had transformation. It happened when he least expected it, but pay attention to this. Was it because of anything Saul did? Was it because of anything anyone else did for or to Saul that his transformation came? No, it came only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not anything that they did. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Church, if we open ourselves up to that, there's no telling what could happen. And I almost think that's sometimes why some of us are not open to the Holy Spirit, because we're not aware of what might happen and what He might call us to do. Who He might call us to be, how He might call us to act. But if we open ourselves up, transformation is available to any of us. Our Roman scripture that we read earlier, so that you may overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is a busy, powerful unit. Now reading on in verse 10, it says, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, said, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. And the Lord said to him, and this may be what we're all afraid of also, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Listen to this. For he is praying. He is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, what was Ananias' response? I have heard many reports about this guy and all the harm he has done to your people. To your people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. In other words, he heard the Lord speak. He said, Lord, I hear you. However, are you sure you have that right? Because I've heard about all these bad things he did. And I heard about the authority that he came here. And his purpose here is to drag people off. Verse 15. The Lord responded to Ananias and said, go! This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Yeah, I hear you, Ananias, but go because I have chosen him. As we look around in this great big world and think, the Lord's using that person? I can't imagine any crazier thing than to look down and think, wait a minute, the Lord is using this Saul that just got instruction and paper to drag people off to prison who are Christians? And this is a guy you say you're going to use as your instrument? Surely you jest, Lord. But in the midst of that, Saul humbled himself when he was blind. He didn't eat. And where did he say you would find him? What would he be doing? You would find him in a house and he would be praying. So Saul humbled himself and prayed in the middle of his very great distress. You don't think Saul is confused and in distress right now? Holy cow, in this hand I've got papers to drag off Christians. Lo and behold, the Lord just blinded me on the road to Damascus. And he told me, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And the sight of him blinded him. And he humbled himself, and then he began praying. Now, I'm sure if Saul was a praying man before, his prayers were much different at this point. He'd come in contact with the living God. Now, Jesus, the Lord reminded Ananias, I will show him. Ananias didn't show him how much he has to suffer for everything he's done. But the Lord said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. In other words, going forward, as he starts proclaiming things in my name, he's going to suffer for that. And I'll show that to him. You know, there's three people in this story that I want us to look at and see if we relate, if we can be compared to any of them. One is Saul. Are we going about our day-to-day business? Can we be transformed when we least expect it? Have we humbled ourselves and prayed in the midst of everything that we're going through? The other one is Ananias. And I want us to think of a couple things. Has the Lord sent an Ananias into your life? And you said, no way. And the other thing is, or are you an Ananias? And the Lord said, I need you to go do And you said, hang on, Lord, I don't know. Because I've heard about all these things he did. And I've heard his purpose about coming here. I don't know if you've got this quite right, Lord. Are we Ananias in that place? Or are we Ananias when he said, yes, go anyway. You listen to me and do as I tell you, says the Lord, and I'll take care of that. And were we obedient like Ananias was and went and took care of that? Now it says Ananias in verse 17 went to the house and entered it, and he placed his hands on Saul. And he said, Brother Saul. Interesting, for the fear that he has facing Saul. But the Lord made it clear. He will be my instrument, and because of that, he will be your brother. It says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell off from Saul's eyes, and Saul could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained strength. Now, if you were paying attention, I said there were three people in this story, and I only mentioned two of them. The other one will come up in just a minute. So don't think that I can't count, and I only gave you two, and I said three. But in these verses right here, when the scales fell off, he got up. It says he was baptized and then took some food to regain strength. We have to remember Saul again in the beginning of the story, just a few verses back, he was doing his own thing. He was doing his work. Now he has opened himself up to do the Father's work. He said, I can now do the Father's plan. I have submitted to him and his plan for me. Now these next several verses are interesting in what it shows us from Saul, who he was and what he becomes. And it says in the middle of verse 19, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest? Look at verse 22. Yet Saul grew more and more powerful. In the midst of all this, Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Spent several days with the disciples. And all of a sudden, this man that is wanting to kill people and drag them off to prison, all of a sudden, this guy's in the city proclaiming Jesus Christ and proving that Jesus was the Messiah. He must have known a lot about him beforehand, but all of a sudden saw him in a different light, because now he's not just stating that Jesus is the Messiah, but he's proving it to them. And it says after many days had gone by, beforehand, it says he grew more and more powerful. That tells us Saul was very powerful in the beginning, right? He's a powerful man. He was out killing people. And it was okay with a lot of the high priests and others. But in the midst of all this, when he had his transformation, he became more powerful. And more powerful. And more powerful. Now verse 23 says, after many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. Not surprising. But Saul learned of their plans. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. Verse 25, but his followers. And I'm guessing these followers are different than his original followers. But now his new followers, they took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. That's a pretty big deal for people that he was getting ready to drag off to prison or beat because of their faith, and now they're looking out for him. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. He tried. It says, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Now here's our third person, verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him also. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Barnabas. Are we a Barnabas? Do we need a Barnabas? Is there someone that's in our life that is smoothing out the road for us to others? Barnabas had to go to the apostles and he had to say, hey, he's okay. You see, I heard about this and here's what he did, and you can trust him. Why? Well, because you trust me, and I'm telling you, you can trust him. So we've got to look for the Barnabas is in our life. Or can we be a Barnabas to someone else? Somebody else is trying and they're struggling, but people aren't receiving them. Do we need to step in and intervene and say, hey, they're okay. You need to listen to what they have to say. Now be careful when you put your name on somebody else and what they're doing and teaching and or saying. We have to be good witnesses. You know, this book talks all about in Acts, the beginning of Acts. In Wednesday night Bible study, quite some time ago, a year or two ago, we talked an awful lot about being witnesses and what it means to be a witness and the importance and the value of being a good witness. So we want to make sure that we are a good witness for what others are doing and what the Lord is doing. He grew and grew and grew in power. And all of a sudden he started growing his followers, and they protected him and they watched out for him. You know, I think when Saul was going through this, I can't imagine what his mind's thinking. But I'm thinking, if you're walking down the road doing your day-to-day business and all of a sudden a bright light comes down and you can no longer see, but you're hearing the voice of the Lord speak to you. A lot of other thoughts that we can sit here now and think, I would have thought this, I would have guessed this, I would have done. Yeah, until it happens to you. And I can't imagine the transformation in his mind and in his thinking when that happened. And then when Ananias came, and the scales fell off his eyes. Now the other comparison to Saul is, are there scales on our eyes? Well, man, I don't know. I'm here in church. I go to Bible study. I do this. I read my Bible. Yeah, I get it. Are there scales on your eyes that need to be removed? I don't know. This is different for each one of us. I ask these questions, and it may be, yeah, you've had transformation. Could be that you're open to transformation. Could be that God is knocking on your door and you're just not answering. Last night I was up here late and I heard a banging at the door. And I thought a couple things. Man, I hope it's Spencer driving by and wanting in. Corey had a very busy day at work. I thought, maybe it's Corey heading home really late. And I was afraid to go around that corner, but I thought, okay, well, I can go around the corner. And I grabbed my phone as I got up from the desk. And it was a man, older man, standing at the door. And first thing I did was look around for my surroundings and his. And he was simply lost. But I think, man, if I didn't answer that door, the guy was simply looking for his way home, and he was lost. And he didn't know where he was. And I thought, man, that could be us. We're lost, but Jesus is going, man, I'm knocking. I'm trying to give you direction. Are we going to answer it? Or are we going to let it just go away and not answer? Why? Because we're afraid. But listen to the very end when we talk about Saul's transformation. Verse 31. Then, after the transformation, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord, not in fear, but in fear of the Lord, and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Through transformation, he was strengthened, the church was strengthened, he enjoyed a time of peace in his life, and the church in general enjoyed a time of peace as well. And I know there's several that desperately need a time of peace in their life. You're here or watching us, but you need a time of peace in your life. Now, I can't tell you that you're going to find this great flash of light, and I can't tell you that you'll be blinded for 3 days and you'll eat nothing and drink nothing. But I can tell you this, Jesus can do the same transformation in you as he did in Saul. We're going to sing a song in just a minute. If the band will come forward, I want you to think about this. Transformation happens when? When you think you're doing right. God's going to come in. He's going to say, you may be doing right, but here's my way. So transformation comes when you think you're doing your work. Transformation comes when you least expect it. You think Paul, as he headed out that morning, was thinking, I'm going to meet the Lord on the road today, and he's going to change my life forever. Transformation happens not by anything you or someone else does, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Transformation happens through humility and prayer. And by that I mean the completion of that transformation. And as a result of that transformation, you're able to now follow the Father's plan rather than just doing the plan that you set up for yourself. But you can now follow the Father's plan. You can grow, as it said, he grew more and more powerful. Through the power of transformation, you can grow. You can be strengthened. And then at the end, as I said, you can enjoy a time of peace. Now that doesn't mean once you're transformed and God is working in your life that there's no problems. But you can enjoy a time of peace that this world can't offer. Just like you can enjoy a time of rest that no amount of sleep can offer. Now what's the ultimate lesson here? The ultimate lesson is nobody is beyond the transforming power of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today that just as Saul was transformed, that we too can be transformed even though we have been a Christ follower. You can still work in our lives. Lord, I just pray that you open our eyes to this power. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pray that you have an amazing week this week. Stay safe. Thank you for coming today. God bless you, and look for transformation when you least expect it.